Welcome to the Girls Only Project podcast, where we will be discussing all things women in sport. We want to use this platform to discuss and share the challenges we face as women in sport.
It's awesome to have Sarah Douglas on the Girls Only Project podcast with me today. Sarah is a Canadian competitive sailor. She is the reigning Pan American champion in the laser radial event and has also competed in the 2020 Summer Olympics in Japan, where she placed sixth. Not only is Sarah an exceptional sailor, but she's also passionate about female representation sport, as well as the importance of mental health. So yeah, Sarah, it's awesome to have you on the podcast. And yeah, I can't wait to kind of hear about your journey.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Awesome. So yeah, obviously just reading a little bit about you and your journey in competitive sailing. I mean, you started at a really young age. Is that kind of a common theme, or was that just how it happened for you?
I think it often happens pretty young, because often sailing school is kind of cheaper than daycare. So parents just kind of drop their kids off at sailing school. I think I started when I was seven. And it's an easy way to just get them out of the house, get them outside. And for me, I kind of started because my brother started. So okay. I just kind of followed in his footsteps, and I was seven when I learned, but my parents didn't learn until my brother and I did. So they were like in their 40s when they learned how to sail.
Awesome. So it became a family affair.
Oh yeah. We ran with it. We loved the sport. We also grew up in Barbados. So with the ocean in the backyard, it was pretty easy to start. And we went from living in the middle of the island to living in a marina to buying a boat to every family vacation on the boat, traveling, sailing, just fully fell in love with the sport and still do. And everything of our life has revolved around sailing.
Amazing. Yeah, that's so cool that everyone can be involved in it, because obviously being competitive, you need to feel that support from everyone. So the fact that they also fell in love with it is just, so awesome. And then obviously got into competing at quite a young age as well. I mean, world champs before you were 15. Again, like, did that competitiveness come quite naturally to you? Or did you find yourself being quite good at the sport early on? How did that process happen?
I've always been a competitive person. You know, any sort of board game, family activity, I always wanted to win it. You know, it just was always there. But I really fell in love with sailing and going competing against my friends, or just wanting to beat up people and win. So I think it really started from young. And then I was lucky to sail this junior boat called the Optimist. It's for kids up to the age of 15, and I got really competitive to that. And so I actually did my first world championships at age 10. I went all the way to Ecuador. I was the final person to make the team. I just kind of scraped in, and I was 10 years old. I didn't do very well, but getting exposed to that kind of level and competing at that level really opened my eyes, and I wanted to continue, and I just kept on going.
For sure. And I mean, being so young and then competing at that level, not many athletes get that kind of competitive experience at that age. Do you feel like that hindered anything into, like, in your life up until that point, you know, like school time, friends, how you interacted socially? Like, how did that feel? Yeah, how did that time feel for you?
I think when you're a young competitor, you get exposed to a lot more. And so I actually think it benefited me in that I was part of a team. So there was that social aspect, communicating with your coach, getting to travel, getting exposed to different languages, different people from around the world. Because, you know, you go to a world championships and there's, I don't know, 30, 40 countries and places that you never heard of before and languages you hadn't heard. So I was exposed to that at a young age, and you kind of learn a lot about the world and the different cultures, which was really, really cool at such a young age. And yeah, I think I learned a lot of skills being a youth competitor. The tough thing with being competing at a high level that young is that you're often susceptible to burnout. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people when they get really into a sport and only one sport at a young age is that they'll often experience burnout and it's not sustainable for the rest of their life.
Mm, for sure. And you, is that something that you experienced? I know that you got to a point where you just felt like the passion subsided. What happened during that time?
Yeah, like, so I was pretty competitive from a young age and I loved to win. Like there was no secret there. And the problem was it became love to win and then hate to lose. Mm. So of course, when you progress as an athlete and you get exposed to bigger level of competition, you're not going to win every competition. You know, it's just a fact. And I didn't take that as well. And I essentially just lost the love of competing in the sport. And so I actually took a step back from sailing after coming second at the Youth Nationals in Canada. But, you know, that second place broke my heart. And from there, I was like, you know what? I'm not enjoying this sport. Try something else. And Olympian speak. And I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to chase after that Olympic dream. So it wasn't until I was 18 or 19 until my Olympic dream was sparked.
Okay. Yeah. That's, yeah, as you said, that kind of step back just almost was perfect timing and allowed you to get almost a little bit of perspective on what was happening. So it's almost like, as you say, you almost had such an advantage starting earlier, you know, you could realize, you know, almost like lose the passion and then get it back again, which is yeah, pretty cool. And at, probably at like a really good age as well. Finished high school, you know, by that age, 18, 19 years old, and can almost have the time now to pursue, you know, an Olympic cycle. Obviously that takes a lot of time and dedication out of your life. So yeah, a good, you know, timing for you there. And obviously a lot going on with, you know, mental kind of health during that time as well, trying to figure out what it is you want, you know, winning, losing. How's that kind of mental health journey been for you?
I've gone through a bit of a roller coaster. Especially the last couple of years has been challenging, you know, with COVID and just the journey to the Olympic Games wasn't what I originally dreamed. Mm. When I came back to sailing and chasing after that Olympic medal, Olympic dream, I had to really learn how to love the sport and enjoy every day because didn't become just about winning anymore. It was like, okay, I really enjoy this sport. Let's try and incorporate all of that joy into the training that I'm really loving what I'm doing. Because if you don't love it, you're not going to push. It's not sustainable. You have to be able to bring the joy into your sport. Having fun with your friends, you know, have fun with your teammates. That became a really important aspect of my daily training. And it still is. It's really important just to remind myself when you're tired, when you're exhausted, okay, you know what? I love this sport. I'm really, really happy and fortunate to be able to do this sport at this level. And I think that's really important for the tough days that you're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to remember why you're doing it. The love you have for it. It's obviously what drives you because not every day is going to be easy and not every day is going to be an Olympic medal at the end of it. So exactly. You've got to have that reminder in the back of your head. I love that. And that extra year going into Olympics, tough one for any athlete that went to Tokyo. I know like a few people who even kind of retired in that year, you know, going to Tokyo and then they were like, no, an extra year, I just can't even do it. How was that for you seeing, I don't know, maybe other team members, not just in terms of sailing, but maybe other, you know, other sports going through this time? Did you feel I've got my stuff together? I know what I want. The extra year is not going to set me back. How did that feel for you?
The postponement was a mix for me because I was coming off an injury the fall of 2019. So I was out of the boat And so on one side, it was great to have that extra year to prepare for Tokyo and get the more time back in the boat and training. But that year was very challenging because we had various differences of if you can, and competitors, and if you could train, did you have access to a gym? You know, so many of my workouts were in a living room in an Airbnb, traveling. There were so many things that we couldn't control and that was very uncertain. You know, you're going out for training and people come up to you, you're like, are the Olympics going to happen? What's happening with that? And you're like, I don't know, but I have prepared the best of my ability. And of course, there were those days where, you know, you didn't want to get up out of bed. It was challenging. Things got canceled. You know, you make all these plans to go compete and then the competition's canceled. You know, you have the fear of getting COVID and not being able to travel, or getting stuck in a country was a big fear of mine. There were so many different challenges that came my way, for all athletes leading into Tokyo. And it was a roller coaster. It was really challenging because I had to be away from home a lot. I was actually gone from home for 7 months because in Canada, we had a 2-week quarantine and I live in a small condo. So being in a condo with no outdoor space for 2 weeks was just not the answer for Olympic training. So being away from home eventually really took its toll, and it was challenging because I couldn't really share about it or post about it because it was kind of controversial that we had Canadians outside of the country training when people believed that the Olympics shouldn't even be happening. Mm-hmm. So usually I share a lot with people, but I wasn't able to do that because you would get backlash. Like, well, why are you out of the country? You shouldn't be gone. They're telling Canadians to stay home. But here I am like, okay, well, if I stay home, I'm not able to train. You know, Canada's cold in the winter. It's frozen. I have to leave. I have to go to Florida. Or somewhere warmer to train. And that was challenging. And eventually it really took its toll mentally and physically, because I experienced burnout at the end and I had to come home. I was like, you know what? I really need to mentally and physically rest right before the Olympics. I think it was June that I came home and did my like final rest period before heading to Tokyo.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it was a confusing time for most people, let alone, the Olympians who, half the time weren't quite sure where they could be or where they couldn't be. Where do I train? What is the best thing for me? What is the best thing for COVID? You know, it was, obviously a tricky time, but I think in the end you needed to do what you felt was right. And it seems like it kind of put you in the best stead for the Olympics. Let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, you got a sixth place. I read kind of a little bit of your report back on the games, and it was kind of just all about the medal for you. I think in the end, it seemed like you reflected and you were like, I actually am happy with my position. But at the time, it was just, the medal or nothing.
Yeah, I used to view, and I still kind of view, the Olympics as, it's, you're either Olympic medalist or your result doesn't really make a big impact. And so I was like, well, I obviously want to be the Olympic medalist, and results after that don't really matter. And I was in a position to gain a medal. I was just 3 points out of a bronze medal going into the final race. So I just said, I'm just going to put all my eggs in this basket and I really want to win. And the race didn't go as I wanted it to. And so after that, with being so passionate and being so close to a medal, I was pretty upset. And after some time and reflection, I was really, really proud of my performance, because a sixth place is amazing. And it just took me a minute to get to that. Because you have all these, when you've returned home, you have all these people like, this is amazing. Like, and if someone had told me years ago that I would have finished sixth place, I would have been like, that's amazing. I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah.
But at the time, you're so passionate and you see it. It's so close. And the disappointment after that was challenging, and I had mixed emotions and still do to this day.
Yeah.
But I know finishing sixth place really fuels me towards Paris. I immediately finished the race and I said to my coach, you know what? I'm not going to be in a position to lose a medal. I'm going to be on that top spot and I will not lose it. And so now it's just, that really motivates me.
Amazing. Yeah. And it's different to how you were a few years ago where, you know, that second place kind of demotivated you and you were like, well, I'm done. Like, I need to take a break. I need to step back. Whereas this has kind of shown how you've matured as an athlete over the years and probably a person as well in terms of how you can, you know, gain perspective on your placement or on your achievement and then allow it to, you know, for you to look for more or want to achieve better and keep motivated. So yeah, it's really quite a cool journey that you've taken when you look at it like that, which is awesome. So yeah, Paris, here we come. We'll look after you on the podium for sure.
Oh yeah, that's the goal. I mean, like you said, I've come a long way as an athlete, especially in just how I view my results and keeping that big picture in perspective. But and every result's kind of, I try to keep the big picture no matter what it is. If it's a good one or a bad one, but certainly for Paris, I've got eyes on the prize and I hope to step on that podium in just 2 years time.
Amazing. Yeah, no, but we'll definitely be behind you all the way. But I just want to go back a little bit. You mentioned earlier that you share quite a lot usually of your kind of journey and what you're up to, where you are, how you're training, all that kind of stuff. And obviously you have your blog. But you couldn't sort of do it during the COVID time. What is the kind of thinking behind the blog?
Just to share, because I think when you become a high performance athlete, an Olympic athlete, it kind of becomes the norm. This kind of level of competition, dedication, sacrifice, traveling, it all becomes normal to us, but to the average person, it's not. So I really want to invite people to join me on my Olympic journey so that, you know, if I'm to step onto the podium, that they also feel that joy and they can see the work that was put into it and kind of support someone in their community as well. So I think it's important to just share the good, the bad, what I'm up to every month and have people join this journey, because I wouldn't be where I am without my community. You know, they have been incredibly supportive through donations, through just support, cheering me on. And this is just something I do to help give back and hopefully inspire the next generation or anyone. And no matter what you're trying to go after, whether that's an Olympic medal or finishing school or just incorporating a healthy lifestyle, hopefully that what I share helps inspire them to do that and give them ideas on a recipe or something like that, you know, just finding inspiration and joining my journey as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it also makes us real to people. We also human, we have our good days, we have our bad days. It's not all just, you know, this amazing athlete lifestyle. You know, people say you're always living the dream and you're like, yeah, we do have a very fortunate lifestyle when you're an athlete, but you also work really hard for it and you have some really challenging days and times. So I think that's important for people to know as well, is that we are just human after all. And we have challenges with mental health and injuries and all those kind of things. And that's important because I think at the end of the day, we want people to be able to relate to us or we want to relate to others as well, no matter what you do. And when you feel like you can relate to someone, you know, that's where you feel like you can connect with them or share in their joy or their sadness or whatever it is. So yeah, I think it's super important. And yeah, I love that you share your journey. It's awesome. And I'm sure it'll definitely inspire, you know, future people to follow their dreams and pursue their goals. So yeah, I love it.
Hopefully, yeah. I find there's a lot of strength in vulnerability.
There we go.
If you share, people will have rather good things to say. You know, you're often scared to be like, I'm injured or I'm experiencing a setback. But often there's a lot of support there that you didn't know existed if you didn't share it. So sharing it, you really can get a lot of support and feel like you're not alone. Because I think often as a Olympic or a high performance athlete, especially for me in a single handed boat, you know, I'm the only person in the boat, I'm an individual sport, people can feel isolated in this journey. So kind of creating that community and having that support will go a long, long way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you said something so important there, the vulnerability aspect. It's such a difficult thing to be vulnerable, but often, more often than not, when we put ourselves out there and we do show our true selves, as you say, you get good feedback and you get people who like, I can relate to you. You know, we're here to support you. You've got this. So it's always, it's always good in the end to kind of share those vulnerabilities. And then from what you've kind of learned in your, as an athlete or as a female in you know, the athlete world, you're obviously supporting a charity or a foundation, for Fast and Female, is that right?
Yeah. I'm an ambassador for Fast and Female.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that, how you got involved, where your head is there.
Yeah, Fast and Female supports young women. They, you know, 1 in 6 young females will quit sport at a young age. So it's really important to have that mentorship to promote sport, healthy living. You know, it's usually Fast and Female does these champ chats where they have Olympic athletes or high performance athletes come and interact with girls between the ages of like 7 to up to 16 and kind of talk with them, mentor them, go through some sort of activity, Zumba, yoga, whatever it is, and kind of interact. And I find it really helps and helps inspire them and just kind of talk through the challenges that you might have as a female athlete. And so I love Fast and Female because they're great at promoting women in sport and talking through the challenges and helping inspire girls to continue and not quit, because I was one of those young athletes that quit. And so I really believe the importance of female mentorship and role models, because I think it's really, really important to do that. And for myself, like, there are not many female black sailors. Actually, there are none. I am the female black sailor in Olympic sailing. So it's really important to kind of have that representation and mentorship aspect and show their role models so that female athletes that are young and are inspired and feel that they can do it themselves.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's about empowering them at a young age to feel like they don't need to drop out or stop sport because they feel like they're not good enough, or they don't look like someone else, or they can't run as fast. So yeah, I think it's super, super important, and it is such a kind of vital thing to be supporting. And I think there needs to be more of it. I mean, I think everyone I speak to in, you know, these podcasts, everyone's got their own little, you know, thing that they support or passion that they have. And it's amazing to hear all of them, because I think, you know, add all these little passion projects up at the end, and, you know, we're actually making a massive difference. Because sometimes I feel like I talk to one person, I'm like, sure, if only everyone could do this. But when I think back to all of you guys that I've spoken to, I'm like, wow, but actually everyone is doing it. Like, everyone has their own thing, and they are doing their own thing, and they are making a difference. So it's just, it's amazing to be able to give back like that. And I think that mentorship is super, super important. I mean, when you look at this kind of Fast and Female, did you have something like that when you were, offered to you when you were younger, or is this kind
never,
of something
there
new?
Was this is something new. I mean, I grew up in Barbados where sports and sailing isn't that strong of a culture. And then coming to Canada, I think I was age 14. I didn't have any mentors or really anyone to look up to. It wasn't until I was 18 that I heard an Olympian speak, and she was the one that inspired me to chase after that Olympic dream. She was sharing her experience of winning a gold medal for Canada. She's a trampolinist, Rosie McLennan. Okay. And I was just listening to her in the crowd, and I was like, you know what? What am I doing? I want to do that. I want to hear the national anthem and step on that Olympic podium. And so if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be on this journey. And so I hope to be a mentor or inspiration to other athletes and be like, you know what? She does it, so why can't I?
Yeah.
And kind of be that point of inspiration and chase after their dream.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's so important. And I love that you have that, you know, idea in your head. There's almost more to that Olympic medal, just like for your own self, or just being like, I just want to stand on the podium, but it's like, I want to stand on the podium because of all of these things, because someone inspired me to do it. And I feel like I can inspire someone else to do it. So like, while sport can be such a selfish act, it's actually also in a way, you know, selfless. So yeah, I really, really, really like that. And then just to speak about kind of like the sailing in general, in terms of women representation, is it something that is quite equal, or how does it look in the sailing world?
It's starting to become equal. Tokyo was our first gender equal Olympics. Sailing in the past has been a male dominated sport, and typically a white male dominated sport. So we've come some way in making it gender equal and, you know, kind of coming along as a sport, but we still have a long way to go, especially in inclusion and diversity. We have a long way, especially in Canada, to come, and in the sport of sailing. So we're doing quite a bit of work to help that and make it more inclusive and diverse. And, you know, it always takes longer than you want it to. And there's always a lot more work, but I think we're starting to make steps. And last year with the BLM movement, I think it was really an eye opener for the sport of sailing, and be like, okay, wait, we are a white male dominated sport. And we have that image of this like rich white yacht club. And we're trying to change that and make people feel welcomed into the sport, because, you know, it's such an amazing sport that all people can do in any type of way. You know, sailing, I do it at a competitive level, but you can do it when you're 80 years old. There is accessible sailing. You know, there is a blind sailing world championships. You know, there's everything under the sun with sailing. And I think there's a lot of opportunities to grow in the sport. I would love to see that, because I want to share as much of the sport with everyone. You know, I love the sport and I wish everyone got the chance to try it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think you must never think that you're not doing enough, or that things are taking too long. You know, it's everyone has their part to play. And as long as we're starting somewhere and we're starting to make a difference and we're starting to see change, that's important. So yeah, I know it's difficult because I think we all sit here and we're like, it's just not happening fast enough. But it's happening.
I mean, the big part for us was that just the awareness factor, you know, just realizing that, okay, we are not the most diverse sport, or there is opportunity here. Just having that realization from the top too, like of all the organizations, and the leadership aspect is important. So it trickles down as well to the clubs to learn to sail from high performance sport. Just having that awareness factor, okay, let's figure that out, is a huge piece of change.
Yeah, for sure. You know, how to build it from the bottom, because that's how you've got to do it. You know, you've got to start right at the bottom and make sure that kind of filters through as, you know, you get more competitive or the clubs get bigger or whatever it is. So yeah, it's important to have those people at the top who are also realizing the change, which is great, because that doesn't always happen. It's often the leadership that you are kind of butting heads with because they're not seeing, you know, that this change needs to happen. So I think that's super positive. And obviously, yeah, looking forward to seeing the changes over the years coming to fruition, which will be awesome. Yeah, Sarah, it's been awesome to have you on the podcast. Really, really been great to hear your journey and kind of what you're passionate about. But I just have a few more questions for you, some more thoughtful ones that hopefully you can answer. What have you done that you are most proud of?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's not necessarily what I've done, but who I've become that I'm most proud of in this Olympic journey. I've really kind of come into my own as a person. I've really changed or adapted my values and the things that I do every day towards that and what I want to achieve, who the type of person I want to be. And I'm most proud of my journey as a person, as I chase after an Olympic medal and in this, just who I've become.
Yeah, that's super, super important and just awesome to hear, because often we tend to lose ourselves in our sport and our pursuit of, you know, that Olympic kind of dream and goal. So yeah, I really love that. And I can see it, you know, I can see it from talking to you about your journey and how you've kind of matured and how you've used your experiences. So that's really, really awesome. Okay. Name one thing on your bucket list.
Ooh, it's more of a travel bucket list. I would love to go sail in New Zealand. I think that would be a really, really cool place to travel. I get to go to a lot of places, but New Zealand hasn't been checked off on the bucket list. So that would be the next spot.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, training camp for Paris, surely. Everyone goes to New Zealand.
Exactly, awesome. Hopefully.
Okay, last question. What is the best advice you have ever been given?
The best advice I've been given would just be to enjoy the process. So when I was inspired by the Olympic gold medalist, she wasn't necessarily talking all about, oh, it was so great to step on the podium. It was the how she got there that she was most proud of. And that's something I've really embraced in this journey, is just to keep very process orientated, you know, like I said, like enjoying every day and making sure that you have a lot of joy and gratitude towards the sport. And regardless of what the result is, you're going to be proud of the effort that you put in and how you approached your training and your sailing and your program. That's what I've really, really embraced over the years, and I'm going to continue to do it. And everything that I do is about the process.
Yeah, no, I love that. Just kind of staying present in each moment. And because at the end of the day, we can't, you know, we don't have control over the results. So we can do as best as we can to be the most prepared we can, but yeah, stay present, stay process orientated, enjoy it, you know, take every experience. Those are all things that are super important. And I really hope that some people are listening to this, because sometimes, I mean, even I've had it when I've had kind of years where I've kind of haven't been that present or that process oriented, and the year just kind of flies by and you're like, what did I even do this year? Like, I feel like I just trained and, you know, I didn't do anything else. So it's super important to have that attitude and that approach, and that's awesome. And yeah, I love it.
I was going to say, I feel like we often have our accomplishment define ourselves as athletes, but it's really important it's what you do every day that what matters, you know, who the type of person you are, because that's going to make the most impact. You know, you are what you do often. And so that's where the process is really, really important. And you follow your process, the result will come.
Yeah. No, 100%. And as you say that, I mean, one day, you know, you're not going to be a sailor anymore or an Olympic athlete anymore. And what you do now is going to help you to kind of transition through that one day as well. As much as, you know, as much as we want to live in the moment right now, that is going to come. And if you've, you know, experienced it and really taken it all in and grown as a person, not just as an athlete, that process will be easier. So, yeah,
exactly.
I feel like you've got your head screwed on just right. And yeah, it just sounds like you have a great kind of support behind you and what you're doing. And that's also really, really awesome. So yeah, I just want to wish you all the best for, yeah, the next 2 years leading up to Paris. I'm sure that you're going to put in a lot of hard work, and yeah, I hope that you achieve what you want to achieve. So thank you for sharing everything with us.
Thank you. This is awesome. Thank you so much for having me and allowing me the space to kind of share and contribute.
If you would like to find out more about the Girls Only Project, visit our website at www.girlsonlyproject.org or follow us at Go Project SA on Twitter or at Girls Only Project on Facebook and Instagram.